Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. Or if you have your bulletin there in front of you, you can follow along as I read from Acts chapter 18. Also, there's a map there you'll notice. You can see the city of Corinth on the map. That's where we'll be today, as well as other cities that we've recently visited like Philippi and Thessalonica and so on. Now, Don was just saying that I'm being paid full time to do a lot of the preaching, but I felt like as I was reading this week, that I couldn't do justice to the sermon. So I invited a different speaker today. But before I invite him up, I did want to read this. Now, he's not going to be referring to this text that much, so please pay careful attention as we read God's word through Luke, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people." And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. We'll stop reading there. Please pray with me. Lord God, help us to know your ways, teach us your paths, lead us in your truth, and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all day long, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. My name is Crispus. I'm a synagogue ruler from the city of Corinth. And Tim has asked me to come today and speak to you a bit about my experience of Paul, my experience of the gospel, my experience of shame, and my experience of deep joy in coming to know the Jesus of Paul. As you've read, Crispus, I am from Corinth. I am from this major metropolitan city. We've got shaggy-looking philosophers walking around the city. We have the Isthmian Games, which is like your Olympics. It's a huge city, one of the biggest in Greece. We're also known as being a little bit on the immoral side. If you go around the Roman Empire, they'll say if you're an immoral person, you're a Corinthian. It's a little bit like what I've heard your Las Vegas is, Corinth. Maybe you could compare it there. But I am a synagogue ruler. I am a synagogue ruler, so I don't partake in the things of the Gentiles. I'm Jewish. And as a synagogue ruler, my whole life is centered around teaching the Torah, the Tanakh. I seek to bring the shalom to the people as we open the many scrolls we have in our synagogue. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, all of the great scrolls of the revelation of Yahweh to our people. This is my joy, reading it, teaching it to the people in the synagogue of Corinth, and leading them in worship, singing the psalms together of the great things that our God has done. That is my deepest joy. And one of the topics that I return to and return to again in the synagogue is the Mashiach, the Messiah, The anointed one, the Christ, I think I've heard him mentioned here during your worship service, which is beautiful, by the way. The Messiah. I speak about the Messiah a lot with my people. We hope that he will come and he will deliver the righteous, us who keep the law of God, us who are devoted and focused on the law of God. He is going to come and deliver us from the bonds of the unrighteous back into our land, Israel. It will be glorious when he comes. This is what I teach the people regularly, every Sabbath, every Saturday, when we gather. And recently, we had a man and a couple come one Sabbath morning as I was preparing to lead us in the worship of Yahweh. In walks this young couple from Rome, Jewish couple, and it's not strange to have visitors in a metropolitan area like Corinth. It was nice to see them there, and in with them comes a gentleman named Saul of Tarsus, but he also goes by the name Paul. Again, nothing remarkable about this. And after I was done reading from the scrolls and reading the Word of God, I invited our guests to speak if they'd like to, and let us know a word of encouragement if they have any. Paul darted up. I was surprised. Why? This man is very excited to talk about the Torah. So I said, "Please, sir." He was very erudite as he explained that our fathers had been chosen by God long ago, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. But he particularly focused in on David and how God had called David but made a covenant with David, an agreement, a relationship that was insoluble. Yes, he was right. A promise had been made to David that from his line there would always be a king to sit on the throne and who would ultimately lead his people forth in faithfulness. And then Paul said something incredible. He said, "The Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. Mashiach." We were so excited to hear all the way from Jerusalem here now. In Corinth, we're hearing the Messiah has come. But what was excitement one second quickly turned to something much different. For Paul went on to explain that the Messiah had not come to just deliver those who were, like us, committed to the law and the keeping of the law. No, he told us the strange story of how the people in Jerusalem were so committed to the law and to their obedience to the law that they'd become blinded by the law and then used the tablets of the law to hammer the nails into the hands of the Messiah himself on the cross. They were blinded to what they were doing. They fulfilled the law by killing the Messiah. And then Paul went on to say something that still just befuddles me. He said that the Mosaic covenant had come to an end and that through Jesus' death, forgiveness of sins was available to all Jew and Gentile alike. And through his resurrection and his ascension, he has poured out his Holy Spirit upon God's people that they might be forgiven of their sins and be able to follow him as they were always intended to. What had been excitement a moment ago turned into absolute anger. I will tell you, it was like an atomic bomb cloud had come out of our heads. While at the same time, I have to say, I was kind of excited. I hadn't seen an argument like this in synagogue in a while. But this stuff was absolutely jarring to say that we who were thinking that we were righteous by keeping the law had actually done the most unrighteous thing by killing the righteous one. How is this possible? How could this have happened? And we reviled him. We spurned him. We cast stones of words upon him. We hated him. He was a false prophet. He was a liar. But you know what? I was quite thankful for Paul. Because Paul didn't let our anger shut him down. He got angry right back. Thank God Paul got angry right back. Anger can be a good thing if used rightly. And anger, Paul spoke back. And he did it in a most illustrious way. He started shaking his garments and saying, "Your blood be upon your own heads." Do you know who he's talking about? Do you know who he's acting like? You see, as a Jew, immediately we keyed in. He was acting like Nehemiah. When Nehemiah spoke to those who were covenantally unfaithful. "And your blood be on your own heads" was language of Ezekiel. When Ezekiel spoke to covenant breakers in exile. He would not take the accusation of someone who is a false prophet, but he turned the tables on us and said, "No, Israel, you by and large, you are covenantally unfaithful." The deepest distress and anger I've ever seen among my people came out at that point. But there is a lesson to be learned here. A lesson to be learned that I think is important for you to learn today here in Northern Virginia. And that lesson is that we can become so focused on being obedient to God. We can become so focused on ourselves and our lives as God's people and doing good things that we completely lose sight of the point of it all. And this isn't a small problem. When we became so engrossed with our own obedience and focused on our own obedience so much, we ended up killing the Messiah. But he has given us forgiveness of our sins so that we can have a new life and one that isn't focused in on myself, curled in on myself, looking at ourselves in the mirror and being enamored with what we see. No, but looking to Christ and focusing our eyes upon him will change your life. That is what you need. Don't fall into the trap that I fell into. Focus on Christ, not on your obedience. But there's more. As Paul walked out of the synagogue and slammed the door behind him, everybody kept cursing him. But I have to say that even though I had curses for him at first, somewhere deep inside I knew that he was right. I'd never thought about the Old Testament in that way. I'd never connected it in the sorts of ways he was. And on top of that, I knew there was something wrong with me. There was something missing. Even as I knew Yahweh was the true God and his way was the way of salvation, there was something wrong with us. And it was only a few weeks later that I shocked the people a bit more. I came in, I brought my robes, and I handed them over to the people that Sabbath morning and said, "In good conscience, I can no longer be your synagogue leader." Do you have to understand? It doesn't matter to me, but I was well off. I had good money. A synagogue leader in Corinth wasn't doing so bad. And not only that, I had the respect of my people. I was held in high esteem. In some ways, I was like Paul. But I could not, in good conscience, lead this people anymore without speaking of Jesus. He had freed me from the bondage of focusing on my own obedience, on my own keeping of the law, on focusing on myself, staring at my own faith incessantly, and looking to Christ. And if I saw anger on their faces only a few weeks before, now I saw jealousy eating them up. So jealous that this Paul comes into town and steals their synagogue leader. They just want to kill him, get rid of him. If they can't have me, neither will Paul. You could see it written all over their faces. Jealousy is a killer. Envy will eat you up inside. And so I come to tell you to watch out for jealousy. Do you in school find yourself hating that one student who gets the attention? Do you hate it when other people laugh at the joke of a friend because they have gained their laughter? This is the sort of thing that will kill you from inside. It was killing my people from inside to see Paul doing that. And again, the jealousy was the reason for their error. They still could not see Jesus. All they could see was Paul and how much they hated everything that he had now. I love those people, but I left those people to join the true people of God. And some would say it was a little bit crazy, but it was all we had. Titius Justus took us to his house to worship, which was right next door to the synagogue. Thank God we could worship on Sunday and not Saturday. That would have been really weird. But after the excitement sort of settled, I remember being with Paul and wondering, have I made the right decision? Have I followed the right one? Am I on the right path? Or have we made a stupid mistake? I gave up all of that money, all of that renown. Did I make the right decision in life? Well, one night, Paul, he had a vision. The Lord Jesus Christ gave a vision to Paul. And he said to Paul, "Do not be afraid. But go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you and no one will harm you. For I have many people in this city." And Paul told us about the vision. We were all so excited because we knew that not only that Jesus had spoken to Paul, but in the way that Jesus spoke to Paul, that we were on the right track. He said to Paul, "Do not be afraid. Be strong. I am with you." These are the same words that he spoke to Moses and to Joshua as he was about to take the land of Canaan, and to Jeremiah as he had to come against a covenantally unfaithful people. We knew we were on the track with Moses and with Joshua and with Jeremiah as we were with Paul. And we knew that Jesus was with us. And we need not fear either. And I ask you, you blessed brothers and sisters in Christ, the year 2013, are you fearless? Do you know that Jesus said in Matthew 28 that he is with you always, even to the end of the age? This is the most important thing in your life. Give up job. Give up all things for the pearl of great price, whatever it takes to follow the Lord's path. This is what counts forever. We have, like you here in Virginia, many bugs and spiders and all of these sorts of creepy, crawly things in Corinth. And one of them, the caterpillar. If you touch it, you may have noticed, if you touch a caterpillar, it will kind of ball up when you touch it. Also, spiders. If you kill a spider, if you ever notice when a spider dies, it kind of, its legs curl in toward itself. And I want to present to you that as a picture of what death is all about. It is when one has so curled in toward themselves, they've turned in on themselves, they are infatuated with themselves. Whether that's an infatuation with us as a group or just with you as an individual, this is death. And so I counsel you to be open. To be open to Jesus. To be open to receive, to hear, to listen to his voice. I counsel you to not put weight on your obedience to the law, but wait on the mercy of God and the power of his Spirit to change your life. And I counsel you to know that you need not fear, because God is able to deliver you, even in the midst of difficult situations. Jesus Christ is with you. He can cast out any demon. He can heal you from any disease. He can make your life right again. My name is Crispus, and this is my story. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have given us Jesus, and that we don't have to become infatuated with ourselves and maintain our reputation, but that our reputation is established in you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and worship you. Amen. Now please stand and let's sing our final hymn of response to God's word.